Bible, turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We're talking about the life of Christ, and I'm going to preach on the whole life of Christ. It might take a while, but I said several times now, a lot of people talk about him but don't know very much about him. And of course, they talk about him, how he let them win at bingo, or he helped them win the lottery. Other than that, they don't know anything about him. And that's really what, I'm telling you the truth, people really think that stuff. They really think that stuff. And they know nothing about Jesus Christ. They don't know him. They don't know him. They talk about him, but they don't know anything about him. And so I thought maybe we would just have a little refresher course on Wednesday nights and get you back to understanding why he did what he did and how he did it. John chapter 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, this very, very familiar story. Most people know it. A couple of things I'll show you and we'll go on. Number one, you need to realize in the Bible, wine represented joy. But there were 2 kinds of wine. There was new wine and there was old wine. And now the old wine was fermented. New wine was not. And then, but the Bible even calls grapes on the vine wine. So a lot of people who want to talk about drinking, they use this as an example to drink alcoholic wine. Well, if Jesus Christ, God himself, wrote the book of Proverbs and wrote almost a whole chapter against drinking, do you think that he would make something that would cause people to do exactly what he taught against in the book of Proverbs? No, he wouldn't. And so, if Jesus did something, he always did what? Pure and perfect. Pure and perfect. He always did. So, they're invited. Now you gotta remember, now he's been baptized and he's picked him some disciples, and some of John's disciples have followed him also. And he's been invited because his mother had went to this wedding, and he was invited. His disciples were invited to the marriage, and the first thing his mother did was walk up to him and said, "They have no wine." Now, why would she do that? Well, read the next verse, you'll see. And when it says they have no wine, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." In other words, he said, I'm not ready to show everybody who I am yet. But look at the next verse. Jesus said, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She knew who he was, and she knew he could do miracles. Now, undoubtedly, she raised him, so I imagine somewhere along the line, maybe he had done a miracle or two. I don't know. But she knew he could do it. So she just looks at the servants after he said, I'm not ready to reveal myself to everybody, woman. He didn't call her mother this time. Now he's headed into his ministry. Now he's becoming the Son of God and the Son of Man, and he's no longer just a little boy Jesus. And so he's not ready to show himself to everybody, but she knew if he told them to do something, that he could turn that water into wine. So he saw some water pots, and he said, get those right there and fill them up. And if they filled them up, said, now take them over there to the not the bridegroom, but the master of the feast, and pour him some. And when they poured it, it was wine. And the man got excited. He said, wow. So he goes to the bridegroom, and he says, you're not like anybody else. Usually they bring the old stuff out first, but you brought out the, they bring the old stuff out last and new stuff first, and you've done it the other way around, and you might save the best for last. And so that tells me that it was brand new grape juice called wine in the Bible. There's no word for grape juice in the Bible. The word is wine. And don't ever let anybody tell you that Jesus made alcoholic wine. He never did. He never would have done that. And then command us not to drink it except for sickness. Amen? Amen. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. The crowd thought the ruler of the party, the bridegroom, they thought the bridegroom, the one that was in charge, they thought he was the one that did it. Jesus did not reveal himself as the one that made that water into wine. He did not reveal it to those people because he wasn't ready to reveal himself, as he said. But the servants knew, but they didn't understand what the miracle was or who he was that had done it. Because the servants took the water, filled up the pot, then took it to the elder, the master, whatever you want to call him, and they gave him some, and the man said it was the best wine he'd ever drank. And they knew then that Jesus had turned that water into wine, but they didn't announce it because they didn't even know who Jesus was, really. So Jesus wasn't wanting to reveal himself, just like he told his mother. It said, verse 11, this is the beginning of the miracles that Jesus did and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Now his disciples, they knew who he was and they knew what he did. And that miracle made them believe even more. Now, listen. The Bible says the Jews seek a sign. So go on and read down if you will. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. This is something they did all the time. They were just sitting there getting ready to sell old half-hearted lambs and half-hearted doves and things like that. Really wasn't what it ought to be. And so when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now Jesus revealed himself to these people. Now you see, people that don't know Jesus, they have an idea that he's this little namby-pamby, sissy-fied, blonde-haired, hippie-looking thing that walks around. By the way, most every movie I've ever seen about Jesus on TV or a cinema, he was so quiet talking you couldn't hardly understand what he said in the movie. You ever notice that? In those movies, he's usually real quiet, real timid and quiet. No, sir. This man sat down over there and made a whip and run through that court and turned over tables and hit people with a whip and screamed and hollered at them. And said, get this stuff out of here. You've made my Father's house, which is a house of prayer, a den of thieves, man. Get this out of here. But for some reason, well, we know the reason, people that don't read the Bible don't know that Jesus did that. Most people that go to church don't even know that passage is in the Bible.
Amen. Right.
They don't know.
Right.
They never see him in his, he was in his glory that day. Can you imagine how scared people must have been? That fellow running through here with a whip and turning over tables and says this is his father's house. And he's defending his father's house. And then, go ahead and look at the rest of it. It says, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That's in the Old Testament. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Now, you know, Paul later on will say, the Jews seek a sign. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking in unknown languages, other languages, not unknown, other languages on the day of Pentecost, that was a sign to the Jew that the Holy Spirit was now occupying people's bodies. And then that happened only on about four occasions, and every one except for one time was for a sign to the Jew that somebody had received the Holy Spirit. And even the Gentiles. And the only way the saved Jew, would believe that the Gentiles could be saved is they had to have a sign, and the other languages was the sign that the Holy Spirit had come on. The Jews seek a sign. Bible said, Jesus said, Paul said, the Gentiles, they seek knowledge. You ever notice that? Let's just say white people, okay? you ever notice you go to these churches, you know, and they've got all kind of studies going on, but they have very little experiences. They hardly ever have any experience. It's like a book report. Everything's like a book report. And nobody ever experiences the power of the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Holy Ghost, the miracle performing power that Jesus does in people's lives. They never see that because they're not seeking a sign. All they're seeking is knowledge, and knowledge will not save you. It's the power of God in Christ Jesus that will save you. And that's the sign. That's why he told Nicodemus, he said, you got to be like a baby, man. You must be born again. That's your sign right there. And so Jesus goes through there, and then the Jews, they get mad at him because he done that. And what they're saying is, who gave you the authority to do what you're doing? Give us a sign. Well, later on, he's going to give them a bunch of signs.
Amen.
But they still won't believe it. What did he tell and the rich man and Lazarus, you know. And the rich man went to hell and he hauled Abraham, send Lazarus back to my father's house. Because if one rose from the dead and went back to my father's house, they would believe him. He said, to have Abraham and the prophets, let them believe them. If they don't believe them, they're not going to believe anything.
Right.
Even though one rose from the dead, that's what he said. And boy, people would argue with that except for one fact. Jesus rose from the dead and they don't believe him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
They don't believe him. You said, boy, my uncle could come back. I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. Jesus came back. He was the greatest one to ever live. And you don't believe that sign, you're not going to believe any other sign.
Amen.
You'll explain it away. You'll explain it away. So here he is. Now, he didn't really want to reveal himself at the marriage. He wanted that to be a nice thing. So he goes down to the temple, and now, on purpose. He reveals himself. He took over that place. He called it his father's house. He rebuked them and said, you made it into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. Nobody had ever done that before. It took a lot of courage to do that. Amen. Have you ever tried to go against a bunch of religious people? That's a hard thing to do. Number one, it takes a lot of courage. Number two, religious people are some of the meanest people in the world, buddy. They'll kill you. They'll attack you every which way but loose. And so Paul said to look a sign. But look at this. Then Jesus answered, look at verse 18. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest us unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was the temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You see, carnal-minded people, blind, religious, lost people. These were leaders of the Jews. And they said, give a sign. He said, okay, I'll give you a sign. Destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it back up. And they said, oh. See, they didn't think of him being a temple. They thought of those bricks and those big stones, you know, and all those things. And they said, man, don't you know it took over 40 years to build this thing? You think that you could tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days? Now, people think we're crazy when we talk about it. He said, I'm talking about the temple of my body. But they didn't understand that. And go on and read the rest of it. And he said this, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now it took the disciples till after he was crucified and resurrected before they could even understand what he was talking about. Now here's what he was saying. That temple represented him. Everything in that temple represented him. The lampstand is the light. He said, I'm the light of the world. The showbread on the table there, they had 12 loaves. They had to change it every day. The showbread. He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Amen. The sacrifices, the lamb. John said, there's the Lamb of God. Amen. And so everything in that temple, the high priest represented him. The sacrifices represented his death. The bloodshed represented his bloodshed. Everything. When he looked at that temple, he saw what he represented, what it represented him, and it had been since the first day they built the thing. Because it came from the tabernacle in the wilderness, which represented the presence of God. You remember? But the Jews forgot all that. You see, by now his religion had evolved into a routine. Like some Baptists, you know.
Come on, man.
Just a routine. It don't mean nothing. It's church, that don't mean nothing. I just do that, and that's something I have to do.
It's respectful.
Huh?
It's
respectable thing to do. Yeah, we have to do that. We're Christians. We have to go to church. Yeah, tithe. I have to tithe because, you know, that's what you have to do to be a member down there. You got to tithe, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, quiet on that.
Yeah.
Well, I have put on some nice clothes, you know, because we got an old-fashioned pastor and he wants you to dress nice when you go to church. He says that's what God wants, you know. Routine. It becomes routine. Well, these Jews had settled into their routine of the sacrifices and the offerings and the buildings and the priests and the ceremonies and the holy days. They'd settled in all that, forgetting that every one of those things represented one that was to come. And he was standing there talking to them, and they didn't even recognize him. And even his disciples didn't recognize it until after he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. And then they said, man, this is what he was talking about. Mostly what people know about Jesus is he was born of a virgin. He was a nice guy. He did good things. He healed a few sick people, gave sight to a few blind, hearing to a few deaf. He helped a few crippled to walk. They say he raised one man from the dead. They killed him. They nailed him on a cross. He was in the grave. Wasn't 3 days and 3 nights, though, because they put him in the grave. They had Good Friday, you know. There ain't no way you can get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday until Sunday. Is there any way you can do that? No, you can't get 3 days and 3 nights crammed in between Friday and Sunday. But that's what they do, you know. Well, the preacher's kind of wrong on that, you know. But we have Good Friday, and we have sunrise service down at the church. We always have a sunrise service. You better watch out saying anything about sunrise service. I've had people here at this church, preachers, get mad at me over sunrise service. And I tried to tell them, he was up and gone when the sun came up. Why are you out there? Besides that, it's cold that time of year out there. I have a sunrise service every Sunday. Amen. I celebrate his resurrection every Sunday. Now, if we're going to have a service to celebrate his rise, let's get down there in the dark. Don't wait till the sun comes up. That's what the Babylonians did when they worshiped the sun. I'm very going, that's about the baddest tithing, ain't it? I had a preacher get so mad at me. Oh, man, I thought he was going to get in a fight over that. But see, they didn't recognize who Jesus was. They didn't recognize what he represented. And these were the most religious people in the world. These were also the most educated people in the world at that time, as far as scriptures were concerned. They were educated. And yet, they did not know him. Now, look at verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now, because of the miracles that he did, boy, you read that too quick and you don't think about it, and you think, boy, there's a bunch of people got saved that day. But it wasn't. It wasn't. Hey, it plainly says it. Now, many believed in his name. That's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to believe on Jesus. A lot of people believe in him. There was a Jesus. He did great things. It's a historical fact. They believe in him. But they've never believed on him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even that believe on his name. Now you listen to me. These people saw the miracles, and they believed he was a miracle worker, and they believed something was happening because they saw it with their own eyes. But it says he didn't commit themselves to them. You know why? He knew without the miracles they wouldn't believe nothing. Amen. They didn't believe his words. They only believed the miracles, what they could see. They believed, man, this guy's got to be from God. He's doing miracles. But they didn't believe what he preached. They didn't believe his words. Now there's people all over this country going from meeting to meeting looking for a miracle. Some of y'all older people could name people I can't even remember. There used to be a guy named Grant. He traveled the whole country. He did miracles. There was another named Long Tongue Tilton. Y'all remember him? That boy could lick his nose on television. He getting a preacher. Y'all don't remember him, Tilton? Y'all remember him, don't you, Billy? Y'all remember Tilton? He was a crook. The FBI guy. He's back on the road now. And people, of course, where it was thousands of people, now it's, you know, dozens that follow around. But poor old sick, ignorant people. But see, they're trying to find somebody that can do a miracle so they can have some kind of hope. The Antichrist is going to do it. Stay out of my preaching. The Antichrist is going to do that. Did you hear him getting my preaching? He's young. Yeah, Daddy Grace is supposed to come back from the dead. Have you ever seen these United House of Prayers everywhere? Beautiful buildings. Daddy Grace started those. Yeah. He was a black man. And he was a crook, too. I better go on. I might get on some of y'all's crooks if I keep it up. Man, I can't even think of all of them. Pat Roberts. But anyway, Leroy Jenkins. Oh, yeah, Leroy Jenkins. And Leroy. And Tammy Faye and all that bunch. But you see, people, if they can see a sign, if they can see a miracle, they think they've got something they can hold on to. But see, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is it? The evidence of what? Things not seen. I told y'all before, and I'm not going to call her name because we're recording it, but a woman way up in back then in the Catawba Indian tribe down there. She was in the hospital. Some of her grandkids rode my bus, and they asked me to go see her at the hospital, and I walked in there. And so I talked a little while, you know, about her heart condition and all. And then finally, I said, "Ma'am, if you died right now, are you sure you go to heaven?" She said, "Yeah, I'm sure." Well, I knew she went to the Latter-day Saints church, so I know she wasn't sure. And I said, "Let me ask you something. What do you base your faith on?" She said, "Well, the other night, Jesus and his 12 apostles came in my room and stood around my bed and told me I was going to be all right." Danny liked that. Here's what I thought, and I was nice, and I was young. I really didn't know how to answer. But here's what I thought. Powerful drugs. Good painkiller there. Or satanic deception. She's in a church. That ain't a church. I'm not going to call it that. She's in an organization that is run by satanic influence. The Latter-day Saints Church. You read the story of old Smith that started that thing. He wasn't nothing but a devil himself. And the whole church is full of demonic things. And so I don't know what she saw, but I'll tell you this. She was looking to see something instead of looking to the Savior by faith.
Amen.
So that's what these people wanted. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast of the day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles, which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew what was in their heart. But wait a minute, it ain't going to be long from now. He's going to preach and he's going to say, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "Follow me." Over and over and over. He would say things like that, and they would come, and he would receive them. But not here. And later on, we're going to read another story where this exact same thing happened. Exact same thing. And you know, we'll go to... I remember, before I was saved, I worked places. I never met a Christian, but one. I met one at the bleacher. But other than that, I would go places and work, and then I never met anybody that invited me to church or told me how to be saved, except that one man. And then after I received Christ and come in and start telling people about it, they say, "Man, you can go to church with me. You ought to come to my church." And finally, I just got fed up with it one day. I said, "Look, all that time I was lost, dying, going to hell, you never invited me to church. What is it? You think that I'm better now, that I can come to your church because I'm good enough? I ain't coming. You didn't invite me when I was lost. Why would I want to come now? There must not be anything down there for me." And there's a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they've never believed on Jesus. One of the worst ones, and I used to know his name. He's dead by now. He's old then. After I got saved, he went to his locker and came out, and he had a row of Sunday school bins. This is no exaggeration. They were so long. Y'all know what Sunday school pins are? Where you don't miss Sunday school, they'll give you a little pin every year if you don't miss any days. He had over 30 years of Sunday school pins. He had not missed Sunday school in over 30 years, and I didn't even know he was a Christian until after I got saved. He showed me that. He said, "I believe in Jesus." Of course, I was a young believer. I didn't know what to say, but it all looked kind of funny to me. And we wonder why all these people go to church and they claim to have all these great churches, and there's a liquor store on every corner, there's a beer joint in every store, there's drunkards, there's drug addicts, there's prostitutes, all this stuff, nothing's diminishing, it's only increasing, and yet all these people say they believe in Jesus. Well, if I remember my Bible right, it says they turned the world upside down.
Yep.
And all these people that say they believe in Jesus, they hadn't turned anybody's world upside down. You know why? Jesus knows what's in their heart. And it's not him. You know, we could fake it down here and have the biggest church in town. We could hire some slick suited long tongued preacher to come in here. He could do a few magic tricks, you know. He could walk over here and he could say, "Ron's got heart trouble. I'm healing Ron." Well, there wouldn't be any way we could prove him wrong until you got down to the doctor. Have you ever noticed they walk around and they'll say, "I think you got a brain tumor. Healer, Lord, healer!" And your tumor's healed. And you go to the doctor and he says, "You ain't got no tumor." "I know it, he healed me." He ain't never walked over and said, "Well, this woman ain't got no arm. Let me give her an arm." He ain't never walked over and said, "This guy doesn't have an eyeball. Let me give him an eyeball." See, they don't ever do anything you can actually see. But we can get some crook down here doing that and fill this place up and not have one real salvation experience in the whole crowd. But the sad thing is, some of them think they believe in him, and Jesus knows their heart, and he knows they don't. And besides that, you know what, brother? The greatest miracle you will ever experience is the new birth. I got a heart transplant that day.
Amen.
I got a mind transplant. I got a spirit resurrection. Man, this thing, this guy was dead in here. It's alive now. I got a new tongue that day. I went to work about 2 weeks later. They said, "Boy, what has done happened to you? We ain't heard you cuss in 2 weeks." I said, "I didn't know what to say." I said, "Well, I've been going to church." I didn't know how to answer them, you know. I didn't know I got a new tongue. I got a new name written down in heaven.
Right.
It's inside of a white rock. Yes. And I don't even know what it is. And I won't know till I get there. But I can tell you what it's not. Clarence. That's my legal name, Clarence. I got many fights in elementary school with that name. Clarence Cross-Eyed Lion. Any of you old people remember that movie?
Yeah.
That was me. And but it ain't Clarence. Now, every time y'all go to Walmart or somewhere, you're going to think about me. You're going to see those signs that says Clarence sale. I've been trying to work that in for a long time. Clarence sale. That's how people from Clover say it, ain't it? That's how they say it down the reservation, ain't it? Clarence sale. I'm going to the... My new name ain't Clarence. I can tell you that right now. Amen. My name's written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Amen. I got a new name written down in glory. Now, look, Jesus walked this earth, and he didn't just do miracles. His main job was to preach and teach. Now, our faith's going to come through his preaching and teaching, not his miracles. The only miracle you need, the most important, not the only one, the most important you need is the new birth.
That's right.
To take an old dirty, rotten, hell-bound sinner that don't even know they're hell-bound and refuses to believe they're hell-bound.
Come on, man.
And turns them around and puts them on the straight and narrow, going the opposite direction, and only God could do that. Only God can change a man's life. Amen? That's the greatest miracle. Now, along the line, I've seen some miracles. I've seen some. I've seen people get healed. I've seen a good number of people get healed. I have scripturally done it the way the scripture said, in the hospital, right here at church. I've seen people healed. I have. I've seen some that wasn't, but I've seen some that did. I've seen God open doors and close doors and pour out money and everything else. I've seen God do it. But my faith is in not one of those things. I couldn't even tell you the date on one of those. But I can tell you the date that he saved me. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand. Father.